views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following presentation is brought to you by Heart Brain
Media Group. Capturing the moments that make life great.
Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview in the interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
We love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Hey, welcome to Up or Out with Connie. It's that time, and this is your business radio with an edge. And I'm really excited about today's guest. It is David Phillips, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him in a minute. And today we're going to be talking about why failure is an option, and that's not something that we usually hear about. We usually hear that failure is not an option. So I am really interested to learn more about David's viewpoint on that. And so what else do we want to talk about today? Well, we want to talk about, I want to introduce you to my new production director. Her name is Gladys. And if you're going to be a guest on the show or ever checking in, you're going to be hearing more about her. I'm really excited to have her as part of the team. And as David Phillips had just said, it does take a team to put all of this together. So I am super excited, super stoked that she's part of our team. And also, we are finally on our way to rebuilding our website. I know I've been saying that for quite some time. We had a few stops and starts. A few personal things got in the way. But we are back on track, and the new website will be up pretty soon. And we're going to have all of those programs coming back. The ladies, I know you want to be heard in the boardroom. We're going to be talking more about that. And then also, really, the Up or Out suite. Do you want to move up in your business, or is it, and hang out there in corporate in your sweet, sweet job? Or maybe it is time to jump out on your own. But that's what we're all about here on Up or Out. And we are here for you. And we're going to continue bringing a lot more information your way on that as well. And one more really exciting news that I have. As you all know, I'm currently on Conscious Business Network with roughly 5 million listeners. And we go out to about 90 hard stations. Well, starting February 6th, just coming up in a few weeks. By the time you hear this recording, it'll probably be on February 6th. But I want to welcome you all to the C-Suite Network. And I'm just stoked about this network. I mean, we're going to be adding on with all of the new networks and what we're currently on. We're going to be looking at roughly over 900 hard stations globally around the globe. And that doesn't include, of course, all of our social media, iTunes, Stitcher, SiriusXM. It's going to be in CBS Radio Network. So just really, really great, super exciting times going on. And again, if you want to be a guest on Up or Out with Connie and be interviewed on our show and then be streamed out to over 900, if not more, thousands and thousands, millions of listeners, hey, give us a call. And of course, go on over to iTunes. And while you're there, make sure that you link to our page and follow us, because you don't want to miss any of the good stuff. So right now we need to take a really quick sponsor break and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Connie Five, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network, where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. And we are back, and you are listening to Up or Out with Connie, and that is W-C-O-N-N-I-E. And it is now my pleasure to introduce an educator, a facilitator, an instigator. That's why I like this guy, who empowers leaders to strengthen their organizational capabilities. He's working with Fortune 500 companies, nonprofits, government agencies to help them all create a culture that unleashes ideas and the creativity of their people. Welcome, David Phillips. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Connie. I'm doing great.
I'm so excited that you're here with us on the show. And as many of you could probably hear, he's got that little southern drawl. So another reason why I like this guy, because y'all know that I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. So just love having you on the show and having these conversations with you. So I know you were in the U.S. Air Force. You were telling me a little bit about that. But thank you for serving. And I know that you got out because it just wasn't your fit. Just wasn't for you. But you really, looks like you found your niche working with organizations around creating their culture and their organization and leadership. And tell me more about that. I mean, how exactly do you work with your organizations?
Yeah. So primarily what we do, a lot of it is workshop based, but it's helping people and organizations learn and apply the principles of human-centered design and primarily applying those principles to solve really wicked problems.
Okay. So your background is in finance. Was that it? I know you got your degree in education, but it looks like a lot of your work has been in the finance arena.
It has been. And oddly enough, that's an arena I really don't have a tremendous passion for. So the fact that I wound up there was kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. So my formal background is in education. I was a high school teacher and a basketball coach for 5 years in Louisiana.
Oh, cool.
Simply decided it was time to do something different, somewhere different. Moved to Charlotte in 97, working for an accounting firm, Arthur Anderson. And so as I look back on my own journey, it's been almost like a bumblebee journey. So I went from college to the Air Force, back to college, to teaching, to doing IT work in an accounting firm, to doing knowledge management work in an accounting firm, to going to Bank of America, doing more initially learning management work.
Okay.
But it was there that I simply got pulled onto this innovation project. It was going to be just simply one of another, you know, just throwing another project on the pile.
Right.
But it turned out to be, this was my calling. This is what I had always been doing and just didn't know. Helping people truly think differently about their challenges and opportunities.
Oh, okay. Okay. So and it has nothing really to do with finance, just that you just happen to fall in that role. I know. I was a financial advisor at one time. I don't know why I ever did that. I mean, I sweat when I have to sit down and do bookkeeping for my own books. It's like, right. Let's just give that to somebody else.
Right. No,
don't need that added stress. Well, that's really interesting and how you found your sweet spot, really working with organizations all around innovation and thinking differently.
Yep.
So you said you have a program then that you've created that you work with these organizations. So explain a little bit more about the program. Is it a multi-day program? Is it an online program that you offer? I really want our listeners to know what it is that you offer.
Absolutely. So a lot of it's workshop based. And so sometimes that's half a day. And sometimes it's multi-day. Sometimes it's multiple days scattered out over time, just depending on what the client truly needs. And it's helping them learn, and again, learning and apply these principles of human-centered design. And the process that we use generally follows 6 steps. From discovery, let's make sure we really understand the needs and wants and the constraints of the people we're designing ideally designing with as opposed to designing for.
Okay.
So you can truly involve the people, all the stakeholders in a particular problem or challenge or opportunity. From there, going through a framing or reframing. Let's make sure we truly understand what problem we're trying to solve. And then from there, now that we understand what we're trying to accomplish, steps from idea generation or brainstorming to rapid prototyping, which is really where the failure piece comes in.
Okay.
To then testing and eventually launching whatever this new product or service or process or whatever solution it is.
Now, you said something that really jumped out at me, helping them to define what their problem is. So are you trying to say that companies don't always know what their problem is?
Yes. Yeah. Let me think through this. Yeah. I think the answer is yes. Many times.
I mean, it's true. And a lot of times people don't know what they don't know, or they think the problem is X, and then they start working with someone like you, a consultant, and then they realize, well, that's really not the issue.
Absolutely.
You know, it's something totally different over here. But then once they get a handle on that, and they really could set that clear vision of what the issue is, and then they could address it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we often help people work through, we use these three framing questions. And when we teach it, we try to teach it in an engaging way. And so we say, all right, here are these three questions, write them down. And the first one is, what is the problem? So we'll wait and have people, you know, watch them scribbling, what is the problem? So actually, that's not a very good question. Scratch through that. You look up like, wait, what? Like, yeah, that's actually not a very good question.
Right.
A much better question is, what are we trying to accomplish?
Yes.
Because for so many of us, and I'll follow some gender stereotypes here for a moment, particularly men, particularly engineer types, very left brain oriented people, when we are presented with a problem, we tend to get into problem solving mode.
I'm married to one.
So you know what I'm speaking of.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's easy to get laser focused on that problem. We solve, you know, that problem, and then later realize the analogy I use is that we build a great bridge, and then later we discover it's over the wrong river.
You got it. Yep. And that's really, and I love how you take it back then and say, what do you want your outcome to be?
Absolutely.
I mean, that really comes down to sales 101. And unfortunately, I mean, C-suite executives, I mean, entrepreneurs, I mean, even consultants out there doing this day to day, we get so entrenched with what we're doing that we really forget why we're there.
Yeah. It's helping people understand their why and then make sure they're going after the correct what based on, you know, aligning it with their why.
Right. And I love how you said you do the discover. I do something similar. I do it to discover, and then we're going to diagnose that, and then we'll design what that's going to be, and then that's how we're going to achieve and reach our outcomes to what they want to be doing.
Yeah.
So that's definitely fantastic. So what's one of the most unique companies or projects you've ever had to work on?
Really good question. So I'll mention two briefly. So one, we did work for a company that owns multiple racetracks around the country. So okay. NASCAR tracks.
Oh, okay.
And as a business problem, they were trying to address that year-over-year ticket sales were going down. Mm-hmm. So clearly, you know, revenue is a problem.
Right.
And they had been focused for a number of years on increasing the customer experience, the fan experience.
Okay.
And they engaged us to help them better understand the staff experience. Because other than the race itself,
right,
which the track has very little control of, the people who most impact the experience of a fan or the guest are the staff.
Right.
And most of the staff at these big NASCAR tracks and their big weekends are volunteers, not full-time staff.
Right.
And so how they're trained, how they're equipped to do whatever it is they're being asked to do matters. Mm-hmm. And then whatever their experience is. So if they're having a really crappy experience, that's going to carry over to the fan.
That's right.
And so we did, so part of the work we do is called ethnographic research.
Okay.
Think of it as like anthropology.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's studying people studying how people work, but studying it where they work as opposed to focus groups and surveys and that sort of thing. So through that project, we help them uncover insights about what's really going on. So we often talk about it. So in the marketing world, you hear about voice of customer, you need to get some VOC.
Mm-hmm.
So we use this particular tool of design to help them better understand what we call ROC, the reality of the customer.
Okay.
So, for example, at one of the tracks, we noticed one of the guys, again, a volunteer,
right,
who was basically serving as a crossing guard at a pretty busy intersection of both cars and pedestrians.
Okay.
And we noticed at one point he's actually waving people through and he has something in his hand. It turns out it's a sandwich. And so, you know, first blush might be, what kind of slacker is this that he's eating a sandwich while he's working?
Right.
But again, one of the things we always caution people to do is just observe first. Don't evaluate. Don't criticize. Just learn.
Right.
And try to understand what it's like from their perspective. And then you think, so why would a person be eating a sandwich while they're working? And what we discovered is because they hadn't staffed for breaks.
Because they're right.
So he's like, I'm either going to not eat or eat while I'm working.
Right, right. And again, they're volunteers. And as you know, and I know you work with nonprofits and even governments. That's a whole nother conversation. I have spent the week of hell trying to get my passport renewed at the post office. And every time I went there, they were either closed, they were on break, they were at lunch. I was like, I need a government job.
Right.
Oh my God. I was going to say VOV, voice of the volunteer.
Yep.
And they don't get breaks. And then again, as management, and as you know, you can't always manage your volunteer the way you want to.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So in this case, it was management not truly understanding what it was like to be a volunteer.
Right.
You know, in other places, you had people standing out in the hot sun for hours on end with no water.
Wow.
And they're miserable. And so when a guest comes up and says, hey, can you help me? You know, the answer feels like, go away.
Right.
I can't wait to go home.
Right, right. And they want to be there because it's going to be fun and hanging out at the racetrack while it really does become work.
Exactly.
Really does. My son used to live right near the Daytona racetrack. And okay. Go into visit and he'd say, don't go to the left because you're going to get into the traffic.
Right.
And, you know, when he first moved there, it was like, oh, it's really fun. I live right by the racetrack. And in a very short time, it was not fun anymore.
Right, right. I can totally understand.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's really cool. You know, I do need to take another quick break right here. So hang in there and we're going to be right back with David Phillips.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
All right, and we are back. So David, you like biking. I was looking at some of your activities. You're a mountain biker and a musician. What type of instrument do you play?
So the clarifying point here is that all of these, I'm an amateur. I am a decided amateur.
Okay.
So I play the piano and keyboards and play the drums.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Purely for my own entertainment and for the entertainment of my 7-year-old son.
Well, it's like me with the banjo. It doesn't leave my living room.
Right, that, right. Everybody's better off if I just play at home.
Right. Well, I keep saying I'm going to take lessons, but it just never seems to happen. So one of these days, yeah. But I noticed biking, mountain biking, because that is something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah,
I'm a big biker. I got multiple bikes. I go to the spinning classes every day. So that's just kind of my thing. Yeah.
Nice. I used to road bike a lot. So I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, I started doing triathlons with some buddies.
Okay.
And so get a road bike and, you know, start getting into that. But
right.
After a while, just actually the last couple of years, realized that to get any sort of a workout,
mm-hmm.
And on a road bike, you've got to be gone for a while. I mean, you've got to be able to carve out a couple hours. And and I'd heard people say, you know, mountain biking is so much fun and, you know, all these different attributes of it. So I tried it out and just was hooked immediately.
You get bruises on that one. I've gone over the handlebars a few times.
Yep.
My son's a marathon runner. He actually started barring my husband's bike when he was in Daytona Beach. And I remember it was Mother's Day. And he called later in the day and said, "Sorry, Mom, you know, I was busy today. I did a triathlon." And I was like, "You did a what?"
"You tried what?" Yeah.
"Dude, when did you decide this?" And he goes, "Oh, Friday." I was like, "Did you train?" And he's like, "No." He goes, "But the swimming part was the hardest." He said they stayed very close to me.
Sure.
So he eventually graduated into, I mean, he's a professional marathon runner now. And that's,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's what he does, he and his girlfriend. So, yeah, so I know what it takes to do that. And like I said, I have a lot of those scars going over the handlebars.
Sure. Yeah, I've learned that mountain biking is a contact sport.
yeah, as much as we don't want to. But as I've gotten older, I am doing less of it.
Sure.
You know, I can't get too many injuries.
You know, one of the things I did not expect to learn from getting into mountain biking was the parallels between that and actually my profession, which is about, so one of the, I tell people that this whole design thinking, human-centered design, in many respects, it's actually just common sense. That's not common. Yeah. That's not common practice.
No, and it's not. And even my son, I use that as an example when we're talking about leadership and personal development and how he, you know, he didn't sit there and say, "Okay, I'm going to do this," and next year comes, like, you know, and then it still doesn't happen. Well, he took that, you know, that self-driven drive to say, "I'm going to jump in and do this."
Yep.
And he didn't wait. And then from there, he said, "Okay, I'm going to put so much dedication and so much work into this," that he is out there running every day, 8 miles a day or 10 right. miles a day or 20 miles a day, whatever it is. And but he puts that much time and dedication into his craft. And he's also, of course, he's my son. He's a brilliant, brilliant businessman. He's also right. an engineer too. And he puts that much time into his craft as well.
Yep.
So it really goes back to whatever it is that you want to excel in, you have to put in the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what we have found both in helping organizations solve big problems, but I've also started seeing how much it applies to individual. So me individually and others individuals, this idea of prototyping as a discipline. So for us, we define prototyping very, very broadly. It simply means make a visual representation of whatever your idea is. Okay. You're not just describing it with words.
Right.
And then start poking holes in it. You know, put it in front of people while it is still very, very raw. Still, we call it low fidelity. Way before you have something ready to present to the public, show it to them early. Get feedback and refine it. And to do that means you also have to be willing to be wrong. You have to be willing to fail.
Okay.
And so when I started mountain biking, so for me, the parallel was in road biking. It's, you know, there aren't a whole lot of decisions to make other than should I go down, should I go right, or should I go left?
Mm-hmm.
Mountain biking, the first time it was, holy crap, I could go this way, or this way. And even on this trail, I could go over here, or I could go over here.
Or over that tree.
Yeah, or you know, under the tree, into the ravine. And it was this idea that, well, I don't know what the right answer is. But the discipline of prototyping says, well, you try and learn. So it's not failure, it's learning. Now, if you fail to learn, then you're just a knucklehead.
Yeah.
But as long as you are trying things with the intention of, let me see what happens and let me learn from this and then adjust accordingly. So whether that, at least for me, that's been different career choices, again, along this bumblebee path.
Right.
In helping organizations, it's helping them not get too wound up about, well, what's the right answer? Start prototyping, start building, find out what, if nothing else, find out what doesn't work as fast as you possibly can. So you can get to what does work sooner and cheaper.
Right. Exactly. And I love your bumblebee analogy. I was actually called the queen bee once. Well, I did a handwriting analysis when I was learning and becoming certified in personality assessments.
Right.
I did a handwriting analysis and they came back and I was defined as a queen bee. So nice. I was like, okay, I don't know if that's good or bad. Okay.
<Right. laughs>
Because if you know, if you look at what does a queen bee do? You know, she pulls in her prey and she eats them alive.
Right. Right.
So I was like, ah, okay, that could be good or bad. I'm not sure.
Right.
Well, that's really cool. So, we are just about done with our time. This has been so exciting chatting with you and learning more about what you do. And it is so important that we really practice and not be afraid to take those steps, not be afraid to take those risks or the unknown.
Absolutely. Yeah, it can look a little daunting on the front end, but getting out there, trying it, making stuff, seeing what happens and learning from it, we have found is one of the absolute best ways to solve really complex organizational problems, but yes, also help defining your own path.
You know, a really good point here too that I want to point out is it's the leadership that can't be afraid to allow the people to take those steps.
You are absolutely right. It's easy to say you should be willing to fail. I, on the other hand, am not. Well, good luck with that.
Right. And that is so, so telling in so many companies where the leader, you know, they give you the leash for so, you know, just a little bit enough, you know, hang yourself, but then, you know, then they bring you back. So it's really important for the leaders to take those, to allow that to happen as well. So people could stretch so they can grow. So how could our listeners find out more about you? So, you know, if they need your help or they need any support from you, they could reach out.
Sure. So they can go to our websites, www.fasterglass.com, or reach me by email, david.phillips@fasterglass.com. And I'm on LinkedIn as well.
And LinkedIn is a place to go, especially for there's on. That's right. A little plug there for LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to do a new picture on LinkedIn. I was at the National Speakers Association this past weekend, and we had a presentation by an expert LinkedIn Kurt, and they had us test our picture on LinkedIn, and my picture failed.
That's reassuring.
I know. I said I had a fake smile. I was like, what?
Nice.
So I'll be getting new pictures done soon.
Yeah, maybe it's a fake smile, but this is a real punch, pal.
Yeah. I was like, what? Well, David, it's been really fun having you here today. And everybody out there listening, remember, go to fasterglass.com to learn more about David, or david.phillips@fasterglass.com. And you could hear and just talk to him directly about innovation for yourself, innovation in your company culture as well, because we all definitely need that. Well, you've been listening to Connie Fife. And like I shared earlier in the show, we have a lot of really exciting things happening, and we want you to stay tuned, so you don't want to miss any of the good stuff. And remember, we are on LinkedIn too, and Facebook and iTunes, and make sure that you're linking up with us and staying connected, and we'll continue to share with you. And if you have any questions, comments, or some really positive feedback, feel free to share it with me at askconnie@upperout.com. Keep it really simple. askconnie@upperout.com. And if you want to be on the show, give a shout out to Gladys, gladys@upperout.com, and she'll get you connected. But thanks for being here. And remember to ask yourself this question: if you could be doing anything else right now, what would that be? Until next time, be unstoppable.